Hi, my name is Megan. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride and entitlement. Hi. I've known about Jesus and God for as long as I can remember. My family moved around a lot growing up, but would make it a point to get connected with the local church wherever we moved. I remember it was easy to make friends, but sometimes I would miss out on continuing that friendship due to the frequent moves. Moving around has been something that God has used to help me see the importance of support systems and investing in relationships no matter where you are. I heard that Jesus loved me from my mom all the time and thought she's just saying that because she's my mom. I didn't have that personal relationship with Jesus that cultivated a desire to glorify him in my life. Pre-adolescent and teenage years were very challenging for me in terms of managing my emotions. I would often take out my emotions verbally on my mom. I would yell and scream at her, which I thought would keep her away and create whatever barrier I wanted. I would go into a rage, and she was mostly in the path of that verbal abuse. I would come out of my room for meals and then quickly hurry out the door to whatever else I wanted to go. I thought my home was why I yelled or got so mad all the time, but actually that unsettled feeling went with me wherever I went. I chose to lie and be secretive about everything, from my whereabouts to what I would tell a certain friend and not another. To keep the instability I felt inside my own mind, I would live my life in a calculated darkness in terms of relationships. I thought no one else struggles with emotions to this degree, and this would scare people if they really knew, so I hid. I tried to hide from others during times when I knew my emotions would be particularly elevated. I tried to hide from myself through the busyness I created in a packed schedule and achievements I thought might make me feel better about myself. I remember having a calendar in my room that would have details mapped out, like 1 hour blocks of time back to back, where I would make sure to hang out with my friends for equal amounts of time. Talk about people-pleasing, control, and all sorts of other things wrapped into one activity. I would blame things on God and then thank him the next day for the close call I had after engaging in activities that glorified my sinful patterns, like substance abuse and toxic relationships. I didn't value myself, and this was reflected in how I treated others. I thought of relationships as transactional. What can this person give me? I was manipulative. I continued this pattern of living, one foot in the world and one foot knowing who Jesus is, throughout college. I thought going away for college would somehow change my unhealthy patterns of not making myself known, but it didn't. One thing kept coming up for me as I moved around. There was this almost homesick feeling wherever I would go back home during school breaks. It was still there. I couldn't figure out what that feeling was, but I didn't like it. I noticed it kept coming up for me when I was still. Still in the sense of actually evaluating my heart. It would come at weird times, too, like when I was with others where I wasn't necessarily alone, but still had this thing inside my heart which was aching for something. My chaotic search for that feeling led me to places that weren't God's best for me while chasing momentary emotional highs. I would seek to find my affirmation and worth from others by hanging out at bars and by going from one guy to the next. It was like I had a twisted game with myself with how crazy a story I could tell my friends from a weekend or weeknight of idolizing myself and physical pleasures. Upon returning from out of state, I continued my unhealthy patterns like lying and not treating guys as my brothers in Christ. At this point, I would casually attend church when it worked with what I wanted to do, and read my Bible when I wanted to feel better and not as a spiritual discipline. I would justify my own actions and was living in isolation, not inviting the opportunity for others to speak God's word into my life. Upon moving to Texas, I was able to see how God was changing my playground and changing my playmates, a term I learned while in regen, by physically bringing me out of the same environment my flesh gravitates towards. My flesh leans into the selfish, have whatever you want, you deserve it, environment that celebrates the chaotic nature of living a life in sin. The type of environment to laugh while elevating foolish actions and where I can justify whatever behavior I engage in at the time with a simple because I wanted to. It was during this time that I was introduced to individuals who shared openly about struggles, and this idea of community kept popping up. I joined a singles community group after attending Watermark for a little while and learned more about what authenticity looks like in the Christian walk. I'm continually learning that it's not just showing one side to others and keeping the other side under wraps due to fear of not feeling understood or judged. I know that I need accountability and that in isolation I can justify just about anything. Proverbs 18:1 states, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." Dating was different with Brandon, who is now my husband. I mean, we set a clear deadline with the intention of marriage. I tried to control the beginning of our dating relationship, and this ended up hurting him when my pattern of lying continued. I was still talking to another guy at the same time Brandon and I were beginning to know one another through our long-distance phone calls and texts. I had been fearful of rejection, and I lied repeatedly about my interactions with another guy. I would cover up lies with more lies. I felt exhausted, living behind a veil of a false reality. God was working in so many ways to bring me to a point where I was willing to surrender my struggle with handling my emotions my way and turn it over to Him, even though I was unsure what that looked like at the time. I would take out my anger on Brandon, who was becoming one of my closest friends during our dating process. I would feel confused at times when I knew my emotions couldn't be trusted, and would feel frustrated because I thought that surely there must be something or someone to blame for how I am feeling. It was a mixture of realizing I did not want to bring this unhealthy behavior into the marriage, as we had just gotten engaged at the time, along with a desperation for an end to the battle I was having in my own soul that spilled over in a way that was completely overwhelming to me. This desperation led me to choose to go through recovery. I thought I had an anger problem when I first came to Regen, but God helped me see that I was not fully trusting Him with every area of my life. I wanted to come and fix whatever was going on with me, but was still holding on to my emotions since I thought that was never going to change. I wanted some kind of problem that relied solely on others and didn't place any blame on myself. I didn't want ownership. I wanted to shirk responsibility. Victim mentality was so much more palatable to me than pride or entitlement. I mostly wanted to figure out a better way to communicate. I would take my emotions out on Brandon and use my emotions as an excuse for how I acted. I didn't want to keep sliding through life treating others this way, especially those I care most about. Sliding was easy, deciding is not. I continued to go through Regen through our first year of marriage. I believed that Christ died for my sins during my experience in high school youth group, but going through the 12 steps allowed me to see how I stopped at salvation. It did not continue on to lead a life that follows Christ fully. There was no fruit visible from my walk with Christ. I was informed more by societal norms than scripture. While going through Regen, God allowed me to see the importance in relationships and how my struggle is common in the fact that it glorified myself and was fed by worldly messages, not biblical truth. I believed the lie that doing whatever feels good or whatever is justified by my emotions at the time would lead to a satisfying life. I was holding on to the belief that busyness and achieving more would create a sustainable high that would coast me on just a little bit longer. I was slowly shedding the reliance I placed on myself and presenting this idealized version of myself to others. God used the recovery process to show me how to place my full faith in Christ. With my lukewarm faith before, I would ask God to change me and not present myself to God in a manner that said anything about my willingness to change. I would say, "God, help me with my emotions," while consuming substances that alter those same emotions. Through owning specifics of how I respond in conflict and asking for forgiveness from those I've harmed, step 8, I was able to see more of God's kindness. Through step 9, amends, I was able to own my part in a failed friendship. I had not been loving toward her as a friend, and my idea of a grace at the time was non-existent. Along with responding to the amends I sent, she sent me a letter back that was written 6 years ago, describing her willingness to forgive me. God allowed me to see how He's been moving through a small act of faithfully reaching out to that friend, even several years after I failed to love her well. I was also able to ask forgiveness from my mom and dad, which was a sweet moment in that God orchestrated it. My dad had wanted to look at some home videos during a brief visit when Brandon and I went to California, and I was able to ask forgiveness for my actions toward them during my pre-adolescent and teenage years. I haven't even gotten to the people you'll meet at Regen. The women I was able to run with in a small group were such an encouragement and are seeking the full life that God promises to those who love Him. Psalm 40 verse 3 states, "He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." I learned that there is no need for secrets, and that is something that disturbs the unity that God calls us to live in. I don't need to choose what to share or how to present myself for fear that others will not love me. I know that God loves me, and He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross for my sins and your sins so that you can have a full life with Him. The gospel does not require us to clean ourselves up in order to come to God. John 5 verse 24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." Sometimes I still get that homesick feeling that I can't quite pinpoint what it is. I like to think that it's a gentle reminder that this isn't my home. I'm no longer gazing at my emotions as my guide, but rather God in Scripture, which points to eternity with Him. God allowed me to see that my hope comes in Christ alone and that anything else will be as fleeting as my emotions. My walk with Christ has changed as I am actively pursuing a relationship with Him. I get to spend time reading the Word and learning about how He loves me and how I can share this with others. I'm learning about how God honors a willing heart who seeks after himself. I'm learning to shift my mindset when engaging in spiritual disciplines from looking to see what I can get from God to instead looking for ways to serve him and acknowledge him as author over everything. I see my gifts as God-given, and I see my struggle with emotions as a gift. I'm able to pursue a profession which allows me to utilize the empathy I've gained through my own struggles. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." My boundaries, particularly with guys, have been shaped by a desire to point to God in my marriage. Angry outbursts have lessened drastically since evaluating my part in conflict and not just blaming my emotions. I still need to ask forgiveness when I feel emotionally out of control. This mostly occurs with Brandon, who was very kind to embrace me with open arms during those times. I've been able to learn how to say I feel a bit off during times when I can almost feel a shift in my emotions. This helps me to not just continue to find a reason for the off feeling, but almost surf the emotion as it rides in and then sift through what is reality. Money. My perspective on money has changed drastically during evaluating what tools as well as gifts God gives. I used to walk away from the register when I was growing up because I would get anxious around the total amount of money needed for whatever we were purchasing. God has really helped that area as I get to budget and choose how to prayerfully utilize the money he has allowed me to steward for this time. I see money as a tool and pray for God to help me use that tool wisely. I've learned that intentionally doing things honoring to God is super hard, as I was used to sliding and not deciding things in my life. But God sees and honors the heart striving for him. He's teaching me to keep my hands open as opposed to a closed fist approach. This has allowed me to see things in a new light as God helps me learn about his view on whatever I am wanting at the time. I have been so grateful for how he has moved and been constant no matter where I am physically at. I have also learned about choices God allows me to have, like what I do for fun and how I talk. I am continually reminded not to entertain the very things that Christ died for, and I think this is most prominent in my shift in what I watch, like movies. I continue to ask God's help for what I fill my mind with, which then pours out into my speech. I used to use other choice words for how I was feeling when upset. I've learned that I have the opportunity to communicate more effectively with words like, I feel frustrated, awful, or down instead. I can also grow in the area of sharing my faith as my relationship with Christ has uncomplicated so many areas of my life that I was making difficult through my choice to pursue sin instead of Christ. I don't need to keep track of lies or chase a story that I fabricated anymore. Brennan and I are able to walk in the community and be known. No secrets. Unity is something I continue to be met with whenever I think of how my current recovery in Christ has been impacted. When Paul talks in Ephesians 4, 1-3, he states, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I know the chaos that was in my mind and heart when living apart from God. I can easily go back to relying on my own thoughts and feelings, and I find prayer, reading scripture, and reaching out to the women I get to walk with in community to be so much more life-giving than the isolation I would go to. There's only one thing I can tell you. It's that nothing is out of God's realm to renew. If you're a newcomer in the beginning stages of Regen, I would so encourage you to continue pursuing Christ with everything he's given you. There may be surprises for you along the way, but God's already been there and can guide you through this journey. You get out of Regen what you put into it, so I encourage you to strive for fullness with Christ every step of the way. Be on the alert, because as Christ moves, others will notice, particularly Satan. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 states, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a victory to get here each week, and to continue to come back shows a lot of courage. Thank you for letting me share.